Well, it appears that the lectionary, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, thinks that we need to be spending a bit more time thinking about the incarnation, which has been very obviously what we were on the last couple of weeks. And it comes up again this week, at least it did for me. And the incarnation is another one of those things that is simultaneously easy to, well, not explain, but easy to describe, but then has riches that keep on going forever. I mean, the incarnation, it's simple. The incarnation is God made flesh. Jesus Christ was fully human and fully divine. There, end of story. What more do you need to know? Well, there's a lot more to it than that once we start getting into the implications of it all. And that's one of the things we'll be talking about today, as well as some other things, I hope. But this is the liturgical Sunday, the baptism of the Lord, or the baptism of our Lord. And so the sermon title is Jesus' Baptism, because there's some things that we need to think about when we think of Jesus being baptized. And the first is, let's not lose sight of how extraordinary this baptism was. John the Baptist, one of the more peculiar characters in the Bible, has been baptizing people in the Jordan River, and Jesus shows up to be baptized. Well, in Mark's account, what's interesting, of course, is that in verse 7 and 8, but certainly in verse 8, John is characterizing his baptism of a particular sort. And that somebody else is going to come who's going to have an even more extraordinary baptism. And then it's instantly followed by Jesus, who we know is the one with this more extraordinary baptism, showing up to be baptized by John. Well, that's just extraordinary, because John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. In the book of Acts, we have it very clearly laid out to us that that's what it was for. John was baptizing people that they might repent. Well, Jesus didn't have anything to repent about or to repent for. So it's an extraordinary thing that he would come to be baptized. But at the same time, let's not lose sight of how completely ordinary this is either. Human beings who identify with the Christian faith are baptized. It's as simple as that. That's just one of the things we do. In many traditions, that decision for the physical act of baptism is made for you by your parents. You're baptized as a baby, and then through confirmation, you confirm that those vows that were taken on your behalf are those that you hold yourself. In other traditions, you're baptized as a believer. Sometimes it's called adult baptism, but it's not so much limited to adults, because really, when does adult come in? Some days I don't think I've achieved it yet. And one of the most clearly defined senses of self as a believing person was by a 9-year-old girl who was baptized when I was interning way back when. Either way, it's one of those things. This is what Christian people do. They look back on their baptism because they all had one. What could be more ordinary than that? Well, the simultaneous extraordinary nature and ordinary nature of Jesus' baptism reminds us again of the extraordinary and ordinary nature of the incarnation. As I mentioned before, my theology professor talked about the need for us to put a fence up when it comes to mystery, and we put the fence up when we've come to the limits of what we can know. And then we work in the other side where we can know. And there are obviously some things about the incarnation that we will never understand because we are not divine. We are not divine, we will never be divine. But there are lots of things about the incarnation we can understand. And Jesus' baptism encapsulates some of those things that we can understand and then look at the larger picture. Jesus was baptized not because he needed to be baptized, not because he had things to be repented of and things to be, figuratively speaking, washed away. He was baptized because he was human, just like us. Think about that for a moment. Jesus was human just like us. The incarnation, is one of those things that, as I've said before, we tend to fall on one side or the other, and much to our loss. We think that Jesus was so divine he couldn't be human, or he was so human he couldn't be divine. And that makes sense, because it's hard for us to put those two things together. It's a unique experience, or a unique being in the history of everything. But Jesus' baptism was another time where he showed that he was going to be like us in every way. Not because God in his omniscience needed this experience to understand it. Omniscience is another thing that we'll never really understand. God's omniscience, his ability to know everything as the creator of all things, didn't require him to send Jesus to experience life. He didn't need that. It wasn't that God was ignorant of what it's like to be tired, or to be happy, to be in pain, or to be in physical peak of form. He didn't need Jesus to come for that. We need Jesus to come. So we know, in a way that is indivisible from our physical beings, that God understands. Because the intellectual assent of omniscience is at best cold comfort when you're thinking of what it means to be human in some of those less pleasant ways. The notion of omniscience never makes me feel better when I think of God understanding the physical pain I might be going through, or the emotional pain, or whatever it might be. But the incarnation, equally mysterious in many ways, does bring me comfort, because I know that Jesus went through what I went through. And even if I have doubts about what omniscience could actually provide for God, it doesn't matter, because Jesus came. The sermon titled Jesus' Baptism, with that little apostrophe after the second S in Jesus, is a bit of wordplay. Because there's another thing about Jesus' baptism that we don't want to lose sight of on this day. And that's where John said, John the Baptist, not John the Apostle, said, "I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Today, on this, the Sunday, the baptism of our Lord Sunday, we think not just of Jesus' baptism, the baptism he underwent, he went through in public where he was dipped into the Jordan River. We also think of Jesus' baptism, the baptism that he provides, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, Paul encounters a group of people who have been baptized. And he says, "Well, by which baptism?" They said, "Well, what do you mean, which baptism? There's only one baptism, the baptism of John." And he said, "Well, haven't you been baptized by the Holy Spirit?" I said, "What are you talking about? We don't even know what that is." And so Paul provided instruction, and then also provided the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is the other Jesus baptism. The Holy Spirit is not new on the scene with Jesus' arrival, or at Pentecost, or at any other time. The Holy Spirit is every bit God as Jesus and the Father are. The Holy Spirit was there at creation, hovering over the waters. The Holy Spirit has been engaged with human beings all through the Old Testament, sometimes very explicitly, as when Bezalel was filled with the Spirit of God to create beautiful things for the tabernacle. But also when the Holy Spirit stepped into this plane of existence, if you will, in the form of prophets, and brought messages from God that could only come from God. The Holy Spirit is not new, but the baptism that Jesus brought, this other baptism, is a new way that the Holy Spirit interacts with us. In the same way that Jesus was always God, when Jesus came to earth in the incarnation, it was something new. The baptism that Jesus brought, that John refers to here, is something new, and that's something that we all have that opportunity for. Now, there's been all kinds of dissent over what the baptism of the Holy Spirit might mean, and We could talk about that forever if we were so inclined. But the details and all of that are so much less important than the fundamental reality that the Holy Spirit comes into you in a way that is extraordinary. And you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Does that mean that you need to come and do a particular thing as physical baptism? No, not at all. The Holy Spirit comes with our relationship with God through Jesus. That's what Jesus brought. Was a new way for us to be in relationship with God. Not because we couldn't before, but because it was so clear now. Jesus brought God with us in a new way. Because there's never been a time when God wasn't with us. But Jesus put it in concrete terms that we simply couldn't avoid anymore. We couldn't pretend that God was distant or uninterested. And what Jesus also brought was the Holy Spirit as an intimate part of our spiritual and non-spiritual life. The Holy Spirit, that baptism of Jesus, is there for every believer. Every time you exercise your spiritual gifts, whatever those might be, whether you have that gift of faith that allows you to believe in ways that the rest of us find difficult, every time you're compassionate in a way that the rest of us are unable to be, whatever those spiritual gifts might be that you have, every time you exercise them, you give witness again to the Holy Spirit within you. You give witness to the reality of that baptism of Jesus. That's why we're singing songs about the Holy Spirit today. As a reminder that the Holy Spirit is with us and in us, empowering us to resist the temptations of sin, energizing us to do those things that we want to do to make the world a better place, giving witness to Jesus, being practically useful to those around us who need our assistance. The Holy Spirit does all of these things for us. And that's part of Jesus' baptism. It's easy for us, or at least it can be easy for us, to sort of skip over some of these things. To just say, well, the Holy Spirit, well, sure. And that's true, we can do that. We can always skip over those things. In the same way that we can skip over the fact that our spouse or our children or those around us say that they love us. We can just go, yeah, of course you say that. You always say that. And on our bad days, we do that very thing. Let's not kid ourselves, we all have bad days. But on the rest of our days, and on our best days, we're really aware of those relationships we have with the people in our lives. And we can be equally aware of the Holy Spirit at work within us, alive within us, always with us, encouraging and energizing, advising us, giving us what it is that we need to do those things that we want to do, to be the people we want to be. And that all comes from Jesus' baptism. Not from his example of getting dipped in a river, but from the baptism that he brought, that he gave witness to as a fully spirit-filled person, that we can be as well. This Sunday in the church calendar, the baptism of our Lord Sunday, is a great opportunity for us to think back to our own baptism or our own confirmation when we said that, yes, those vows our parents made on our behalf are the vows that I make for myself. To remember that we have set ourselves firmly into the family of God. To remind ourselves that the Holy Spirit has promised to be with us always. If you were one of those people who was baptized as an older person, maybe to think back to that actual day and some of those feelings that you had, that understanding that you had then, and how much richer it is now. No matter when or how you were baptized. Or if you're one of those people who, for whatever reason, was unable to be baptized, but are still in that relationship with God through Jesus. Jesus' baptism is a good thing for us to think about, a good reminder of who we are in Him and in all that He has done for us. So on this Sunday, when we won't see any baptisms, not inside, and certainly not in any river around here, that's not a baptism, that's just a bruise, let's remember that Jesus was baptized as a reminder of how human He was to us. Let's remember how extraordinary and how ordinary that was. Let's also remember that Jesus brought a baptism of the Holy Spirit that we all have. A way of relating to God that we all have. And let's rejoice in that.